Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first Game 7 since your Cleveland Cavaliers came back from, I think it was 3-1, that series. I don't know why. Somebody brought that up the other day, and I always seem to forget.
Oh, what a night. what a summer.
That drum set, Tom, when they were up there, and it was 1-3 on the head. Do you remember this thing? And I'm just like, oh, my God. Unfortunately, it didn't work too well for baseball, but. It did for basketball, didn't it?
Let's reminisce about that summer for a second.
Well, wasn't we're 10-year anniversary, so
isn't it unbelievable?
We're coming up on it.
The fact that they won it on Father's Day, right? The way Cleveland was just absolutely moved beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I still remember the greeting the team back at Hopkins on that Monday morning with LeBron coming off with the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt on and... then the parade.
That was after 24 hours in Vegas for those guys.
That's right.
Because they diverted the plane.
Stopover in Vegas. That is a flex. Huh?
That is a major league.
Yeah. By the way, guys, on the way back to Cleveland, we're going to have a little stopover in Vegas for you.
Did they even bother getting a hotel? I don't even know if they needed one.
God, no.
Probably no.
No. They rolled all night. I've heard a couple of those stories.
Tom, were you there or were you here?
I was not there.
You were here. Okay.
Continues to be one of the sore spots in my career. They couldn't send me back out for game seven. At least the argument they gave me was financially. I mean, the flights were just absolutely insane. We already
would they have put you on? Okay. So there was a, the NBA had a charter. Yeah. The NBA has a media charter.
The league has a charter. Correct.
That you pay for as a media organization, you pay correct. For your seat. So it's not like, yeah. And they did decent rates on there.
They did. The only issue there was we had, obviously two staffers out in the Bay Area. They felt like they wanted to have somebody here recording the reaction of Cleveland.
Yeah, I get it.
Winning. Yeah, I do too now. And you know, it's the only way that got me through it, Andy, because and I'll be honest with you. It was an incredible thing to be at the watch party at the arena here because, I mean, you watched Cleveland go through that roller coaster of decades and generations of heartbreak. And for it to finally happen was something I'll never forget.
You've always been able to disassociate yourself from being a fan. And yeah. How did you feel at that moment?
Oh, I think I cried a little bit. I think I had to. I mean, my son was there sitting a few sections over from me.
That's why. That's
with all of his friends. It was Father's Day. I thought back about, you know, my dad and my uncles and all those guys that went through, 1954 World Series,
yes.
Through all those Browns teams that came up short. You name it. So, yeah.
Have you ever told you my side of this thing?
Go ahead.
So I'm there, right? I'm
right,
at the game. And
Oracle Arena.
Yeah, and so I went back into the media area. I wasn't on the floor for the end of the game. I went back into the media area because, you want to make sure you're bearing straight on everything that happened at the end of the game so you can make sure that you ask the right questions and so you're focused on the game and not all of everything that's going next to it.
I love that. Yeah, I know
so,
what you're talking about.
You know, I'd been doing a ton of TV stuff with Windhorse at the time, and so I was standing right next to Brian, and we were in the room, and it was all national folks in there. Wilbon, I think, was sitting right across from us. And I watching the clock tick down. It's five. It's four. Oh my God, we have the ball. Three, two. And I looked at double zero and I'm like, I can't believe we crossed the finish line. So I'm like, I'm right on the verge. And like, if you could look at me, you could see this, just this volcano of emotion ready to come spewing out of my mouth and through my eyes.
Yeah.
And I heard there was another TV person in town, and I know exactly who it was. I heard them down the hallway screaming at the top of their lungs because they were so excited that the Cavaliers won. I felt exactly the same way. Wendy looks at me as I'm about to explode. He grabs my arm and says, "Not here." And in that moment, I hated what I did for a living. It was that single frame of, I was like, and then it's almost like one of those scenes where you get sucked into a vacuum and they're like,
you do, you disassociate. I know.
And then I'm like, I wish I was with my dad. I wish I was with my kids. Yeah. I wish I was with my wife. I wish I was with my brother. I wish I was with my family.
Yeah.
And yeah, because the pain we all understood and we all felt at that moment. And, you know, but I got home soon enough. And then the stupidest question I had, I should put this back out on social. Usher was in the locker room afterwards. This is after Richard Jefferson probably drank five bottles of champagne, and I listened to him toy.
He was dehydrated.
Oh, he was toying with the reporters that were next to him about retiring.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, "That's it, I'm done. This is the pinnacle." And I'm like, "Richard, you're kidding these guys, right?" And he looks at me, and I'm like, "There's no way he's retiring." And these guys are just like a fish. You know, they just got caught on the hook. He's like, "Are they all?" And then the story after that was that Richard was retiring. But of course he wasn't.
Yeah.
He knew. Oh, I was going to walk away from all that cash.
Yeah.
So like in that moment, it was just one of those things where you're like, I wish I was at home. And I still, like, I was kind of mad because I wanted to be the guy who was screaming on the outside. So I waited till I left the arena at the end of the night. And then, so the Usher part of it. So I ask Usher, I'm like, "Hey, Usher, what was it?" Because he was in there when the champagne was flowing.
Right, right.
And like an idiot, I say to him, "What was it like to be in this locker room when the champagne was flowing?" That's a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
And he turns to me, he goes, "Well, you really want to know what it was like?" And I go, "Of course I do. What was that experience like?" And I'm like so focused. He turns, he grabs a bottle of champagne from somebody behind him and just
dumps it over.
Yeah, that was the last time I wore that suit.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. It was totally worth it. Let's take a couple more phone calls on the playoffs too. Oh, look at this. Jim wants to let it go. Jim, let it go. He said he meant bullets. It's not a big deal. What do you got?
Yeah, no. What tickled me about that series back at that time with that, because if you're
talking
think
about the miracle
it,
Rich Friedel, if you're just joining me.
Yeah, yes, go ahead. Yep. Yes. And that was only a first round playoff series. That wasn't even like the conference finals or anything. That was just a first round series. And by the time every game in that series, whether they won or they lost, was like no more than like 2 to 3 points. They were all right down to the end.
Right.
You know, like one game was like Bingo Smith hit the shot to win the game. Another one, Dick Snyder hit game seven to win the series. And like you said, if you go back and you can Google the video, you'd have thought they just won the NBA Finals because just the floor was, you know, packed and they were tearing down the baskets and all that stuff. Now it's because then they played Boston the following round. And that was when Dave Collins and John Havlicek and all those guys. And, I mean, that was a heck of a series, too. But if you remember, that was in between there when Jim Jones broke his foot.
Yep.
And then Nate Thurmond finished out, you know, and he ended up having to start. And you just, it's one of those where you always kind of wonder.
It's a great point. We have too many of those, don't we? Stupid rainstorm that pushed, I don't even want to talk about the Cubs series.
Well, yeah, no, that's. Screw that, but
thank you, Jim.
Sure,
thank you, appreciate it.
My dad, by the way, worked with Dick Snyder's dad with the Hoover Company.
Really?
How's that for a connection?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bill is in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate your work. It's always enlightening, and appreciate you being there today.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you.
Because otherwise it would be me, and you'd be like, "I can't listen today. It's just Baskin."
I'd be calling in.
No, Andy, you know better.
No, we know.
But in looking in the future, though, if you look at the way the Indiana Pacers are constructed, at the middle of the season, even at the first of the season, would we have traded our two starting guards for their two starting guards? And the answer probably would be, for most people, no. And if you look, if you really look at it, though, those two starting guards for the Indiana Pacers, Halliburton and the other person, they're constructed for a championship team. And our 6'1" guards, who are, I'm not saying they're not excellent players, they're not constructed to be or put in place to be a championship team. On top of it, they're ball centric. They control the ball too much, and they expect to shoot the ball too much. And that's why, I know this sounds radical, I'm just making a statement probably to get a reaction more than anything, but I would see nothing wrong with trading both of our guards and Allen if we could get a more solid defensive, pretty good offensive power forward center, and then two tall guards who were not ball-centric. And I know nobody probably in this listening audience agrees with me, but with Mobley has to be the primary focus. And I just wanted to get your response to that.
I just want to make sure that I heard you say this straight, that you would get rid of Allen, Garland, and Mitchell, right? Just making sure, right?
Did you say get that past you, Eddie?
Well, Allen, Garland, and Mitchell, goodbye, right? That's what you're saying? Get rid of all of them?
Well, I think you're going to have to do that in order.
And you're still going to need a guard, right?
Well, you're going to need two guards and a power forward.
Okay.
But I think you need to get at least 6'4", 6'5", 6'6" guys, and a guy that can be a more powerful power forward.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Thank you. Bill puts a happy hour sometimes. So I thought
before he got a little off track, I thought Bill made a couple of pretty good observations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first being that Halliburton and Nembhard really complement each other really well, right? And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson was striving for in his first year last season, was trying to figure out, how do I get the best out of Mitchell and Garland together? Now, I think we saw moments where it was really good, and then there were moments where I agree with Bill, and I think you would agree, Andy, that they became too ball dominant in their own ways, and who's going to defer to who and what have you. And I think there's still a little bit of a learning process going on with those two. But I don't disagree with Bill from the standpoint that watching the Pacers makes you think differently about how you can make this Cavaliers current roster work. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't know if I told you this, Andy, I told Jeff last week, I'm one of the few people that would not trade any of the core four. I would hold on to them. I feel like an NBA championship is won from players 5 through 9. Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent upon the Cavs to figure out how to best complement this nice core that they have right now. I'm not messing with it. Now, don't get me wrong.
So here's the major league question I have is, how can they do it with the restraints of hanging on to those guys?
That's the issue.
I got to tell you, the thing about Mobley, them getting taxed because Mobley is good is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, that you have a team that's trying to build a roster the right way. And if you want to call the Mitchell trade, I still think it's the right way. I mean, I know they gave up a ton of draft picks to do it, but you're taxing a team because they've got a guy that can play. That's, if you win a bonus, that should not go against your
I don't
cap.
Disagree with
it's
you.
It's ridiculous.
And I think fundamentally and philosophically, the league is going to have to take a deeper look at that, because I think you're right. I think this is going to prevent teams from doing what you would hope they would all do, right?
Right.
Is figure out a way to build themselves into being a championship contender.
No one's Tom, no one's talking about players trying to get together with players so they can go play on their AAU team around the
NBA. Not now they are. That was a thing here up until a couple of years ago, right?
But those days are gone.
They fixed that, right? So now you're probably going to have to, you know, reevaluate what this does to the current structure of the league, and then address it and make another move or two. There's no doubt. But, you know, I agree with the caller from the standpoint that the Cavs have to take a deeper look at how do we get to a championship? What is the path there? Is it with this current backcourt that we have, or can we make a move? Here's the other thing. Everybody talks about, oh, trade Garland. Oh, trade Allen. I'm more concerned about, what do you want in return? What kind of player are you looking for? And if you're going to give up those kinds of players, how is that going to then, affect what you currently have and what you've currently built? So a lot of questions to be answered. I'm glad I'm not the one that's having to pull the triggers on this team in this offseason.
Again, their hands are tied behind their back too, because of this second apron thing.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to be able to change that is by busting up something in the core four, because then you make significant changes to the fiscal part of the roster. But I just,
well, and that Allen contract is movable, right? That's the one that doesn't hurt you that much. But then you're giving up a lot and getting rid of that guy. I know people talk about, okay, offensively he doesn't bring you much. He makes Evan Mobley as good defensively as he is. I mean, that's part of why Evan Mobley is so good defensively, is because Jared Allen is out there as well. I think people forget that too.
You know, the other part of it is, if you look at the Cavaliers and everyone say, well, they can't get out of the second round, all these second round teams have gone on to win championships, and Indiana's knocking on the door for game 7.
Growing process.
So yeah, you have to ask yourself that question too. Is part of this just a little bit of bad luck, because you did have a team that, you know, rocked the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference, when it came to regular season wins? I know it doesn't mean anything, and it's not very satisfying when you don't see your team in the finals.
I know.
But you have to ask yourself, did they just run into a freight train that wasn't going to be stopped, and it didn't matter who it was, because they have done this to everybody else, and now they have a chance to win a championship? Are you kind of rooting for Indiana to win so you could say, okay, I get it, the Cavaliers lost to the best team in the NBA at the end of the 25 season? 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092, and we're going to talk a little Guardians baseball coming up in the next hour. Jamal White, High Noon, Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.